So a couple of quick questions about your personal background. When were you born?
I was born in 1946 in Cleveland, Ohio. And
do you remember what hospital?
I don't know what hospital, but I'm thinking it would be St. Luke's because we were, my parents were on the east side of Cleveland, 114th and Union Avenue. So St. Luke's is probably the closest hospital. So I think there. But no one ever has asked me that, so.
Almost every form I ever fill out, they'll ask where you, if they ask where you were born, they'll ask what hospital.
I always wonder. It's first time ever.
Because how many hospitals can there be? I guess in Cleveland.
There could be a lot, right.
It's the largest city in the state, but only one hospital.
Well, there's actually two. Kaiser. On Snow Road.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I ask you to restate your name? Because I was not recording when you first came in the room.
Oh, okay.
And what your current position is.
Okay. My name is Chuck Germana, formerly Charles M. Germana, and currently the position, I guess, would be the president of Parma City Council.
Thank you. So you were born in Cleveland. Did you spend most of your childhood in Cleveland?
Actually, when I was in the second grade, my parents moved to Seven Hills, Ohio, and I grew up in Seven Hills through college, and then, you know, moved away. I guess college would be the first move away, and then right after college, the United States Army.
Where were you going to school?
And I went to various different schools. Started off at Mount Pleasant Elementary.
Okay.
And then from there I went to St. Francis de Sales School. That would be second through fifth grade. And then they actually just had, being a baby boomer, they couldn't accommodate the kids from Seven Hills, so I ended up going to Broadview Elementary. But they formed St. Columbkill Church, and the students from St. Francis de Sales actually went to Parmadale. Some classes were held at Parmadale until St. Columbkill started. So from sixth grade, Broadview Elementary, seventh grade, Parma Schaff Junior High, eighth and ninth grade, they opened Hillside Junior High. Its first 2 years of Hillside Junior High. And then the 10th through 11th was Parma Senior High. And then from there, Ohio University, graduated with a degree, Bachelor of Arts in Economics. And from there, United States Army. Of course, it was the Vietnam War at the time. And after, went into the insurance business, and I've been in the insurance business ever since. And was a community kind of guy, active in the JCs and Chamber of Commerce and so on, and eventually got involved in politics, public life. I was elected president of Parma City Council in 1992, so I've been there a while.
Yeah. Did you start out from the Army back to Parma, or did you go somewhere else and then find your way back to Parma? Or?
No, after the service, I came back to Parma. Actually, after the service is when I, because I grew up in Seven Hills. So if you want to consider Parma, you know, Seven Hills.
Same school district. Right?
Same school district, but really I was in Parma for 2 years and worked in Parma. I owned a home in Parma Heights for 6 years. And then in 1978, purchased my current home on Evergreen Drive in Parma, and have been there ever since. So,
how has that area changed since the time you came back from the war?
Which area are you talking about?
Parma in general, Parma Heights, Seven Hills.
I would say it's I think of it as a stable community. Parma Heights and Seven Hills. There's been, of course, situations in business and some turbulence with the overdevelopment of retail. Well, that's a much bigger problem. Parma was no exception.
What does that mean?
Well, there's a documented study done by Cleveland State University, Irvine School of Urban Affairs, that actually has documented that the Cuyahoga County area has had an overdevelopment in retail, and it just so happens that Parma itself is high on the chart where I don't know if you go per square mile or per resident, but we have more retail than any other community in Cuyahoga County.
Right. There's Parma Town Mall in Parma. There's along Ridge Road, there's all the little shops. There's Snowville Plaza.
Snowville Shopping Center, mm-hmm. Pleasant Valley Shopping Center, mm-hmm. And then there's numerous little strip centers.
So that's not typical of most cities.
Well, it's all a matter of demographics. You know, shops go where people are, and the density of Parma is pretty dense. I think the only city that's denser actually is Lakewood, and so where there is population, that's generally where businesses go. But in the case of retail, they kept building and building and building, and then it's survival of the fittest. And, you know, at one time, Randall Park Mall was the largest mall in Ohio, and now it's practically vacant. So, this, you know, there was a certain amount of overbuilding of retail, and... to stop it, you would think, well, the reason the study was done is for people to realize that, hey, let's try to curb this. This is not good. How it relates here is generally it's cheaper to buy virgin vacant land than it is to redevelop land, and that actually was the birth of the West Creek. It was a do you want me to get into it right now? it's actually the birth of the West Creek Preservation Committee came out of a Grubb and Ellis sign that went up on Broadview Road.
Are those realtors? Or?
Right. Okay. Property Solutions Worldwide, they're realtors, and it's the for sale sign went up at the corners of Broadview and Ridgewood Drive in Parma, and that is what perked some people's interest.
What were
Well, basically, they put the for sale sign up, and it showed 72 acres in Parma, a frontage on Broadview Road and Ridgewood Drive. I've got a letter here, a copy of a letter from Gil Plafkin, and Kurt Warner, Kurt Wagner, showing me that there was three parcels that they were interested in getting rid of, mm-hmm. put up for sale, parcel A, parcel B, and parcel C.
Were they looking to sell after the city? Or just
no, they were selling it to anybody that was willing to buy it.
So they really had no idea or thought about what they wanted to see that land become.
It was available. Mm-hmm. This property was owned by WKYC.
Channel 3.
Right. And it was excess land, and it was available. There was basically an interest in selling the land so they could use it for maybe a new station or whatever purposes they had in mind. And that is what started the people wanting to save the land. This is, I don't want to say virgin forestry land, pristine, so on. And it actually started the whole bigger idea of saving the whole West Creek, which is south of these three parcels. And it's a valley. The West Creek Preserve is in a valley. And back in the day, Parma had this this code that said if you're going to develop property, a certain percentage had to go into recreational space. So along State Road and along Broadview Road, when they put streets in, the acreage that they used was valley. Okay. The city had a certain amount of acreage from this leftover land that was challenging, to say the least, to develop. So, you know, this is naturally, you do the easy and you leave the tough for, they had the excess acreage. So we did have a huge chunk of parkland that wasn't a park. It was just not used. And yeah, it, again, it was, you know, challenging land, and I heard stories of people saying that when they were doing the Emerald Necklace that they considered this land, and for one reason or another, now somebody in your historical will tell you about that.
Those are but, the parks that make up the greater natural parks.
Right. At one time, somewhere along the line, I've heard the story that these were considered, but they opted, you know, not to take it.
Because of the valley.
Well, but a lot of the Emerald Necklace is a river. You know, you got the Chagrin Valley, and you got over Big Creek in Lakewood and Rocky River, separating Lakewood and Rocky River. That is all.
Did the Metro Parks take this over?
Now that has happened just recently. Okay. Well, there was a actually a issue that went on the ballot to save the parkland. Okay, that was the start of saving this land from being sold, and there was a lot of activity trying to see if there's any way to stop Channel 3 from selling the land. And so the other thing that was in consideration at the time was there was a plan on building a possible second golf course with this property. Now, this property did have some challenge because at one time it was the Parma dump, and they covered the dump.
Was that proposed by the city, or was that proposed by a private company?
A developer came in and came up with the idea of putting in a professional golf course to the point where they had the land surveyed. They actually had some plans on what the holes would look like. And so that was another thing that kind of prompted the people that wanted parkland. And I must admit, at the beginning, I was very much in favor of the golf course because it would be something that would pay for itself over time. And we do have one municipal golf course, but of course there's a lot of population, and having a golf course this close, right into the middle of your city, is great, and having two is even better.
Because that is better. That would help take people to the mall, going golfing, that kind of thing.
I don't think there's that much synergy between shopping and, you know, you go to Ridgewood Golf Course to golf. You may stop at Parmatown for a reason, but I don't think they're really connected.
Why didn't you want it to be a park?
I didn't mean that.
Okay.
It was recreational land.
Okay.
At least the Parma acreage that was south of the WKYC property was recreational. And really, it wasn't suitable for ballparks, soccer fields, and being a golfer, I didn't think as a golf course being development that was undesirable, because there's trees and grass, and you know, I just golfed yesterday in the city officials golf outing at Ridgewood Golf Course, and we saw deer, and you know, it's a beautiful thing right in this populous city of Parma. We've got this beautiful 18-hole golf course. So it was just a matter of I was in favor of green. I didn't want it developed. I didn't want, you know, we have enough population. We have enough houses, apartments. We're probably a little shy in cluster homes for seniors, but as a general rule, we have enough population and density. So certainly I was in favor of saving, or actually making use of, green space that was untapped. Okay, so then there was the synergy of people that were trying to stop WKYC from building, and they also went in part of their, you know, proposition to have a tax was no golf course. Okay, and if you want to know the politics of this, you know, the politics of this is at the same time that this is happening, we had a situation where we had a outdated municipal court and jail. So Parma was in the planning stages of building a new justice center, police station. Our jail did not meet code and so on and so forth. Our court facility was really really lacking. And, you know, Parma is a city of beautiful churches and cathedrals, people taking pride, and we really didn't have pride in our court system. It was, you know, the famous stories about the jury having to deliberate in the woman's lounge of the old court. So it was really something that needed to be done. And we did have some land. We did a study of all of available parcels in the city, and it was coming down to a central location, being close to proximity of City Hall, being kind of the center, and it was east of the hospital. And that happened to have an area that was trees. So there was kind of two different issues. There was the WKYC land, and there was stop the jail from being built, no trees cut, because this should be park, but where else are you going to put a justice center? And so what happened is, instead of moving forward with the golf course, you know, we were on the kind of the defensive of trying to get a justice center that we could be proud of. And if you go to the Parma Justice Center today, that was eventually built. We actually had to campaign because there was an initiative to stop the jail, okay? And of course, it was the rhetoric of, you know, we got a prison in the middle of Parma and so on and so forth. But in fact, it was a place for your neighbors and family and friends, because we don't, you know, this is not a prison. This is for the citizenry, and the Parma court is six different cities. So at any rate, we overcame that. We overcame that, and we have a beautiful facility, okay? But the point was, we were distracted. If we would have spent a little bit more time on the golf course, we may have had a golf course. But during that time, I got to know the people involved in the issue, and I got baptized, I guess. I became a believer in saving it for park space. I was in favor of stopping more development. We didn't need more houses. We didn't need more. Certainly didn't need more retail. And so I got involved with that campaign committee to go ahead and be able to purchase this land from WKYC.
Can you mention six courts or six cities use those courts? What cities are they?
Okay, well, it's Parma, Parma Heights, Seven Hills, Brooklyn Heights, North Roanton. I should know them, but...
do they have any input into what to do with that land? Were they willing to raise any money to kind of sway...
The way it works in Ohio is the host city has got to be responsible for the building. So we actually lose... The Parma court system actually loses money because most of these cities have mayor court. And they handle the easy cases. The municipal court handles the ones that are not challenged, so it's a little bit more expensive and time-consuming to handle just the cases that they don't waive and pay these mayor's courts. And a certain amount of the fines, even if they are handled by the Parma Court, go back to the city. So they do contribute, but any deficit has got to be picked up by the whole city.
So you really have that dilemma of losing money by not developing West Park and having to foot more development for the jail and the courthouse and deciding which way to go on that with the money. That's kind of your dilemma.
It really wasn't about money. It was two core issues, and two separate issues. But you know, at the core, the people that were trying to save the trees for the Justice Center were kind of some of the same people that are involved in the West Creek Preservation Committee. Okay, it was save the tree, but. I'm still fully convinced that this was the best place for the Justice Center. We had studies, we looked at every available spot, and as it ends up, it's a beautiful facility, and there's no resistance. The things that they were afraid of never materialized, and you could go to a Parma court and be proud of the jury rooms, the courtrooms, and so on and so forth. I guess the whole point is there was two fronts, if you want to call it that. This was not war, but this was politics. There was two fronts, and we put the importance on the Justice Center, which was really needed. And because of that, We were not in a position to be pushing through this golf course, and then, as I said, as you know, some of us got baptized into forgetting the golf course and just keeping green. That's what happened. Okay, so that was the first big battle. And once we overcame that, the West Creek just got stronger and stronger. And at that time, I advised Mayor Bolt that, he was kind of concerned, some of these people that were involved, I hate to use this term, but it's been brought up, or carpetbaggers, people that didn't even live in the city and they're worried about Parma. And of all people, when I think of carpetbagger, it kind of identifies Dave Vassarelli, who was the first president and organizer of the West Creek Preservation Committee. And that he grew up right next to the West Creek and played in the West Creek growing up, and the carpetbagger thing was because he was out of the county. He was in a different county and came in, but he had the respect for the green space that he grew up in. And so I got to know Dave real well, and at that time I advised Mayor Bolt that, this movement is not going away. It's substantial. And we should have an open line of communication. And from that, we came up with the Parma Park Advisory Committee, made up of citizens. Dave Linchick was on there, and a number of the other people that are involved with the West Creek, and really that helped the city and the West Creek become partners, because we were talking, we were meeting regularly, and it was a way for the city to keep abreast of, you know, what the plans were and what people were thinking, and so on. So it really ended up being a great partnership tool. Part of the deal, the mayor says, "Okay, we'll do this, but you got to serve on it." And I was active in it for a couple of years, but it was a definite time crunch because we were trying to do it, you know, around council meetings and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm going to work, to this meeting, to the council meeting, and so on and so forth. So, but for a couple of years I was there, and you know, eventually we got the service director, you know, talking with the park advisory and so on and so forth. So really that spurred the cooperation between the city and the West Creek Preservation Committee, even though the Parma Park Advisory Committee was not directly West Creek, but it was the same people. Okay. Most of them were board members on the West Creek Preservation Committee anyway. So that worked. That worked. And we all became in tune to this. And then eventually, at the time that we got some monies from the state, we had Senator Bob Spada, who at the time represented Parma in the Senate district, and of course Dean DePiro was our state rep. And so we did get some money from the state for, you know, the West Creek. And then when Dean became mayor, he and the law director actually met and started this idea of the Metro Parks being, the West Creek being part of the Cleveland Metro Park system. And that is a very, very major event because the Cleveland Metro Parks is a well-respected operation. Everything they do right. And you look at, you know, some of the parks and things they put in particular the one over in Cuyahoga Heights there. So that was a great move. And the Cleveland Metro Parks agreed, and then we went in through a number of community input meetings through this whole process. And it was interesting that, you know, people were coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, that were never interested, but they were interested in saving green space and making the park. And the other advantage was we were able to take the expertise of the people that were on the Metro Park staff. So it really became a class act. So then there was that new partnership. It was the City of Parma, the West Creek Preservation Committee, and the Cleveland Metro Parks. And so that is, you know, some of the synergy that came together, people working together and cooperating. The other thing that was interesting was the other thing that was happening during this decade of green, which is, you know, very in and popular today, was the Erie Canal. But it was the Erie and Ohio Canal corridor, okay, and that was coming up, and they had the federal grant money of so much money over 10 years, and they had a series of community meetings all the way from Cleveland down to Zor, Ohio. They had all these impact and community meetings and so on and so forth. Well, guess who was always there? It was always the West Creek Preservation Committee. And they invited me, so they would drag along. And here is the council president, Chuck Germana from Parma. And when the parkland borders were considered, the West Creek is included in the Ohio Erie Canal map. And the reason is because the quarries that actually did the rock for a lot of downtown and so on and so forth were, and the canal itself, were from quarries in Seven Hills and in Parma, you know, around the West Creek. And so that was really, you know, people were kind of surprised that all of a sudden here the Ohio Erie Canal corridor includes the Parma's West Creek. That was a real coup. But that was because these people were civic activists, and, you know, I was a baptized tree hugger, and showed up, and there wasn't that many elected officials that went to these kind of meetings, you know. So when you could say, hey, you know, here's the council president from seventh largest city, there was some impact there. And as an offshoot of that, another thing that's associated with this is the Henninger House that is was going to be torn down. It was going to be a wine restaurant, or they were selling it to whoever wanted to buy it. And this Henninger House, which is on Broadview Road just north of Snow Road, is original quarry rock stock that is a historical landmark, and it was on the way. It was actually on the block to be demolished for development, and we ended up going down to the NOACA to get a transportation grant to save the Henninger House. And it just so happens that I think Tim DeGitter, he was the councilman there. He's now state representative. He was supposed to do the presentation, but at the last minute he couldn't make it. So they had me go down and talk to NOACA. And the rest is history. We got the NOACA grant. We saved the Henninger House. And but that's all, it's all interrelated. The Ohio Erie Canal, the West Creek, the Metro Parks, the West Creek Preservation Committee. If it wasn't for this whole synergy, the Henninger House would have been torn down and gone, and probably something else retail would have been built there. Heaven forbid. But so that was another thing that you know, kind of tied it in. This Henninger House is going to be a trailhead eventually for the West Creek, with maps and so on and so forth. So, trailhead is, you know, a place like when you go into a park or you see maps of, and you could pick up a map, a walking trail. So the trailhead is, it's just kind of like a stopping off place that you can park your car and get a map, get information about the West Creek. And because eventually, you know, this West Creek, our West Creek Park is going to be connected in two different ways. One at the south end of the Parma property, we're going to be going with a trail through Seven Hills, Independence, to the Kaga Valley National Park, and then to the north of Parma, and north and east of Parma is Brooklyn Heights. So we actually, the creek, the West Creek goes through Parma into Brooklyn Heights and then into Independence. And then there's the convergence there where it meets the canal, the Cuyahoga River. And the West Creek Preservation Committee, again, was able to get grant to get the money to demolish that old retail store at the convergence. And but eventually you'll be able to go from downtown Cleveland. You could go south into the Cuyahoga National Valley, or you could take a detour and come up Brooklyn, Independence, Brooklyn Heights, go through Parma, back down through Seven Hills, Independence, and there'll be a big loop. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
How long do they anticipate that taking?
Well, it'll probably take a decade, because there's different properties that have some challenges that, you know, we need to get. And, but we're making progress. We're making progress on that. And unfortunately, and you can understand, people don't want things. They like parks and walking trails, but they don't want them in their backyard. And you know, as I said at the beginning of this, some of these recreational lands were at the end of a street, and developers built, you know, right up to the valley. And so if you know you've bought the property and you've always had your own private wooded backyard, all of a sudden you don't want people traipsing through your backyard, because it's like it's your own. And I could appreciate that. I could appreciate people not accepting things in their backyard when it's been undeveloped and beautiful. But as a community, we're able to use this land that was unusable. And so it definitely is going to be a very nice asset for the community, that you could have the trees, and besides looking at them, you know, you could take a walk, so on. The other advantage of the Metropark system is Metropark, they have certain standards that they have for roadways and park rangers. And really, the deepest sections of the West Creek Valley now, you know, or prior to us actually being organized, were left to whoever wanted to go down there. And I understand there were people with dirt bikes and three-wheelers, and they had their way, and they are building forts and hideouts and so on and so forth. So it was really unregulated. It was you had to get there on a dirt bike or a three-wheeler. Now, under, you know, the organized use of parkland, we'll be able to have park rangers and so on, being able to, you know, police. So it's really going to be a safety concern. I know when we, as part of the negotiating team with the West Creek, we visited several of the churches. That, of course, the Catholic Church had a substantial amount of land with St. Columbkill and the Parmadale. And then there was Pokrova Church, the Ukrainian church, and Holy Trinity up on Broadview Road that had bottom land. They went down to the creek. And we were able to get conservation easements. But, you know, at the time, you know, one of the questions was, well, you know, we've got elementary school here, and we don't want people or strangers coming up through the woods, and which is, you know, rightly so, a concern, but it's your neighbors, it's the community that are using these woods that have not been used before. And and the Catholic Church and the churches have been wonderful working with us, because there was this synergy of green space, and it's a winner. It's a winner all the way around. We haven't heard of anyone at Parma City Council that is anti-West Creek or anything that we've done. It's everything we hear is praise. So there might be some people out there that are unhappy, but we've never heard of them. So
as far as funding, it will be self-sufficient now because the Metro Parks is involved.
That's correct. You know, there is property taxes that are paid by everybody in Cuyahoga County, and, you know, Parma, pretty dense city. We got a lot of property tax, so it's nice to have, you know, another Metro Park. We do have the Metro Park along Big Creek Parkway. On the west end, northwest end of Parma, and which is nice. But once you cross Snow Road, that's Parma Heights, and that's the reservation there. But it's very heavily used, and so now we'll have the advantage of having two sections of Metro Parks in Parma.
Because it is self-sufficient, have you had any obstacles network?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, these West Creek preservation people are pretty effective. And I know there was, and this is secondhand knowledge, I know there was some reluctance from some of the peoples in Independence. They were actually using, for part of the trail, for the connection, is the CEI, Cleveland Electric Illuminating Power Line corridor. You know, there's a corridor where they cut all the trees back and so on and so forth, and CEI either owns the property or has an easement. And much of what is connected, the connection is going to be through this power strip, you know, of CEI. And again, the it's very natural and understandable. People in Seven Hills and in Independence that always had just poles and lines back there, all of a sudden there's going to be people in their backyard. But hopefully, you know, it's going to be seniors taking a walk, parents with their children on bikes, and their neighbors. And instead of them walking on the street, they will be able to get on the path and through the reluctance to change, you know, they'll finally realize that, hey, this is great that we have this in our backyard.
You mentioned the change. Has it changed you as a person, as part of?
Well, I grew up in Seven Hills, and you know, as a boy, we had woods, and I lived on Ridgewood Drive near Crossview. And we actually went swimming in the quarries back there very close to John Glenn Elementary, and where John Glenn Elementary was and all those streets, you know, that was ours. I don't know who owned it, but there, you know, we built a fort back there. And so kind of like Dave Vassarelli, my growing up with woods in the backyard give great memories, and we were good kids, so we weren't really harming anybody. But we had the opportunity to, after school, to be able to go out and, you know, made a little tree house fort and so on, so forth. And you know, was active in Boy Scouts through life, and as an adult leader, scoutmaster, assistant scoutmaster, with my sons and so on. So I kind of was predisposed to green anyway. So yes, it certainly is a part, because I've made it a part. But I don't think it really has changed me. The only thing that changed me is the shade of green. They always get a laugh when I say that, because park green is just a little different as grass green, like on a golf course. And I get away with it. Some people get shocked when I call them tree huggers, but they know I say it affectionately, and they've even made, the West Creek have made badges. You know, I'm a tree hugger or something. And they know I say it affectionately. Others probably couldn't get away saying it, but they know me. They know where my heart is. So it's kind of fun.
I do thank you for your time. Before we wrap up, Amy, did you have any questions?
I do. I have about four questions. My first question is that you had mentioned about your, you used the phrase carpetbaggers, and what people can't see is the smile on your face when you said it, but I was wondering how you felt about people who do not live in the area but are familiar with the area or had previously lived in the area and working to save that, if that was a positive. I want to hear your feedback on it, whichever it is, how, because you really seem like you wanted to get Parma residents involved, and how you felt about people from another city coming in and trying to help save this area in Parma.
Well, that's the other aspect that I probably, you know, didn't emphasize, that, you know, the other part of having this Parma Park Advisory Committee was, it to be on that committee, you had to be a Parma resident. Okay, so that was a way of kind of keeping outside people from trying to tell Parma what we're going to do with our own parkland. And yes, I was smiling, because Dave Vassarelli knows it. You know, he kind of was the, quote, carpetbagger, because he was, but he really wasn't, because he was a son that came home. His parents still live there, and so in Dave's case, you know, he's not, because he was raised there. Now, we have no objection for other people getting involved. Obviously, the commissioners for Metro Parks don't live in Parma. And they, through their wisdom, saw the opportunity to make a great addition to the system. And so we welcome everyone that wants to get involved. You know, we don't want to be dictated to. And we really haven't been. It has really been cooperation. So, you know, that carpetbagger thing was at the very beginning, before we found everybody's intentions and so on. I know the city, you know, the other thing that happens is environmental is when you have wetlands and so on. We were, when we built our industrial park, you know, we had a big problem with wetlands and Indiana bats and so on and so forth. So, you know, when you're trying to develop something, you know, you always have this hesitation of people, environmentalists coming in from, flocking in from all over saying, you know, the wet, save the wetlands. But through the whole West Creek experience, I think, you know, the whole tone of government, at least in Parma, is we embrace saving wetlands, and we have some of the toughest setback requirements and other communities, you know, come to us, or the West Creek and the preservation say, hey, look what Parma did. Look what Parma did. You know, we have these setbacks and so on and so forth that are reasonable, are good for our water quality. And so we've kind of been, how do you want to say, it's our whole attitude towards environmentalists and so on and so forth is different than if we didn't go through this whole process.
So if you, how do you feel about the West Creek being part of other communities as well, and people from those communities may follow? Do you feel that people will then come into Parma, and how do you feel about that in respect to they may then, once they come walking into Parma, frequent some of the businesses in Parma for whatever it is they decide they want to, you know, have a picnic up in that area, but it's in Parma, and they stop in a store and they buy the goods to have a picnic, that sort of thing? How does that relate to how you feel about what this area has become or is becoming?
Well, there's always been that argument that parks can be a development tool. You know, I've heard that they've said, you know, you could have bike rentals or canoe liveries and things like that. But, you know, the West Creek isn't really navigable. So we would not have, we might have packing mules if it was within the code to have mules, because some of that West Creek is pretty treacherous. So, you know, there are some people that are a little bit concerned about who's coming, who's going to be coming through and making the treks. But you know what? You know, if I go over to Rocky River Reservation and so on, hey, I have a right just as much as anybody else to use those facilities. And the golf courses over there, so on and so forth, the riding stables that they have in the metro parks. So I guess the biggest problem is the close proximity to homes. That's really where the rub comes in. And we're trying to be sensitive to that. I know Vern Hartenberg is very people smart on metro parks, not having to deal with the neighbors. I mean, they really they get it, and are sensitive, almost to the point of surprising sensitive how they are. And so we've got good people in metro parks.
You have this smile on your face when you say you're a baptized tree hugger. So I'm wondering, what will you use the area as that area for your own recreation when it is developed and ready to be used and ready to go? What will you do with your family or for yourself in this recreation area? What are some things that you might do?
Well, I'm at the other end of Parma. Okay. So it just so happens that in my backyard, even though it's privately owned, we do have a creek that comes off the private lakes in Parma, Twin Lakes and so on. And the creek behind my house actually ends up going into Big Creek. So, you know, I live kind of like with parkland behind me, but it's privately owned. And, you know, when my kids were young and so on, they all played down by the creek and, you know, can take the creek to the Big Creek and so on and so forth. So, and, you know, once this gets developed, I got granddaughters. We could take walks. Being a Boy Scout leader and partial to Boy Scouts, I think there should be some areas in the West Creek that can be used for supervised overnights and things such as that.
Has anybody come up to you and showed their appreciation for all the green space in Parma, because there is quite a bit, and what are some of the responses that you got to having so much green space there?
To answer you directly, no one directly has come patted me on the back, patted this. I mean, we know when we go to West Creek Preservation meetings, you know, at the library or so on, you know that there is a, you know, a fondness, and certainly from the West Creek members themselves, you know, we have a bond and so on, but no, the general public doesn't come slap you on the back, you know.
You do deserve our thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, well, thank
you. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think it's been a great experience. I think it's been very positive. And we're kind of like, I think, you know, this whole movement was like at the cutting edge, because ever since this happened, you know, green space and ecology and water quality and so on, that's kind of like the buzz. And back in the end of the 90s, you know, it wasn't necessarily that.
Right.